So Matt, you're in a night out, so I'm running the interview.
Yeah, I am, and yes, you are.
And I've been practicing, so this is going to go well.
How have you been practicing, Philip?
I've been interviewing everything.
Everything?
Yeah, like this morning I was brushing my teeth,
Asked
the toothbrush a few questions.
How did it work out?
It was, I could only ask yes or no questions, and it would answer.
Did it bristle at your questions?
I could. It would go up and down for yes and back and forth, like cross for no.
Huh.
Yeah, it turns out that it had a troubled childhood.
Well, that's too bad.
It got dark, but it was a good interview.
Was there good resolution at the end? Was there a catharsis for the audience?
I spit.
So, yes.
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hi, I'm Matt.
First, we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our ring brothers.
Now it's time for Next at Bat.
Let's do this.
Just started.
Yeah.
Woo!
All right, we are here with a night out. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Hey.
I am Philip Simondet. I will be your host today because Matthew McLeod is in a night out.
It's true.
He is?
Oot. He doesn't.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Andy.
He's the silent member, apparently. I guess he doesn't contribute much.
Except that he started it and leads it and is our and messages us high director.
Oh. And our mom.
Yes, yep. Technically our mom.
Let's go
Why
around.
Why don't you respond to me?
Hi, Sabine.
Let's go around the room and introduce ourselves.
I'm Matt McLeod.
I'm Joe Halverson.
I'm Andy Katzong.
I'm Tanya Elbert.
And I'm Carolyn Blomberg.
And the only person who is not here is Max
Mulligan.
Max Mulligan.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being here. Just in case anyone said that they were coming to their friend's shows but never actually came, which is not the case.
I think it's kind of the case.
No, it's not the case. But could you explain to someone who might not have seen it what the form looks like?
Sure. It's a split scene, so there's two different scenes going on, and each of those are two-person scenes, and it's set at a restaurant, and the form's changed a little bit over the course of the show, but currently we get a suggestion from the audience as to what kind of restaurant we're in, and so each of those two-person scenes are just a pair that are out to eat at this restaurant. They're in the same restaurant. And then there's also a waiter / bartender that interacts with the tables. Generally, the tables don't interact with each other. And the focus shifts back and forth between the two scenes, but it's a narrative structure. So the story continues.
And it's tech that chooses the focus, right?
Not anymore.
Really?
Originally, that's how we had it. But we actually... We had an original run in Improv-A-Go-Go back in November, and then when we came back to do a run in March and April?
April-May.
Mm-hmm. April-May at Huge Wednesdays, Hannah Wideven coached us for one coaching session, and she suggested that we take back the switch for ourselves, and it... I think worked out better.
Yes, I would agree.
I would also agree.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that Hannah gave us was the idea of exploring our shared history with each other. Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, before that, the show was, you know, good. It was fun. But after that, I feel like we really were able to hone in on the relationships between the characters on stage a lot better. Just by exploring that shared history between the two characters. And all the shared history is two people pretending that you have a history together and just yes-ending the heck out of it and making up that history as you riff off of one another. So it was really helpful and helped guide the show for the rest of our run.
I would think that would help build the relationship, which would make it a lot easier to work from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We found that this form was harder than we thought it was going to be.
And it's really challenging to just, I mean, there was not, like, we were sitting at tables. I mean, four of us were sitting at the table, and then one of us was up and walking around.
Mm-hmm.
as the bartender or the waiter. Wow, can everybody hear that?
Yes.
Drinking? Okay. How's that going, Tanya? Yum, yum, yum. Yum,
yum, yum. Way to upstage, Taylor. She had something interesting to say.
Sorry. It's challenging to just sit there and talk rather than use any physicality. I mean, we could use physicality at the table, but just sitting there and not getting up and moving around and... Yeah, that was a big challenge for me.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and so what we found was that when we didn't have a good base to a scene, we all freaked out in different ways. I think is safe to say. I mean, we sort of talked about this at different times, but like some of us would climb up, some of us would jump to the moon. Throwing gift after gift after gift. Right. When we didn't feel comfortable in the relationship, we would do different things, none of which helped the scenes.
Yeah, right, but, I think,
Using things like shared stories and stuff like that to ground the characters in a relationship helped us figure things out very quickly.
Yeah, and one of the things that helped me the most throughout, like two of the shows pop to my head when Andy and I were in that scene about, was it the gecko or the lizard, Elvis?
Oh, yeah.
Or the
yeah.
Iguana.
Yeah, the iguana.
Elvis. And then Max and I were a couple where we met online, and it was our first date.
I actually have that one recorded.
Awesome. It's that was really a really good. Fun show. Yeah. And those two, I specifically remember before going on stage, just choosing a mentality, not a character, not like a plot or anything, but like... just like happy, what a glad, sad, mad, afraid, or whatever, and just going with it and sticking to it, because that's really hard. It's hard to just keep a character going for 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That was my biggest thing too, is keeping a character.
Be consistent with it, and because how many times do you go on stage and you just regret the first thing you say, and then you're like, crap, I have to stay this stupid character for the next 25 minutes, and then you negate yourself or your partner and just kind of, you know, spirals the scene. So
no, you suck. Yeah, I don't suck.
You suck. That was a terrible scene because you were terrible in it. Just saying. But no, those two scenes with Andy and Max were the two that I think I did the strongest out of the whole run, because I had a point of view that I kept, and I had period. The end.
Yeah. Well, the form. Yeah, because you're sitting and just talking, it's kind of a thing that a lot of teat coaches will tell you not to do. It's definitely a challenge. So building that relationship and sticking to your point of view, are there other things that you found help make that work?
I think Tanya and Max have something to say maybe about not staying seated down.
Yeah, I think that Max and I kind of found any way that we could to move around or do something physical. And it was new every time, whether it was I was sitting on his lap or it was like a back rub or under I was like moving under the table, or I had some sort of jitter or something. I had to keep moving where I was and to keep in character too. I think as they switch the lights, it's easy to lose yourself when the lights go to the other table and maybe you're listening to what they're doing, so you can kind of pay attention. But at the same time, when those lights shift back, your accent has to come back and everything else that belonged to your character. And I found that really challenging too, because oftentimes I was like, oh, my accent just drifted a little bit, or I don't know, I just coming back into character and not jumping into, especially with Max, I had a trouble not jumping right into something big, and like really timing it out and pacing ourselves, because we both like to be crazy at the same time, and that was definitely a challenge for the two of us. I think Max would say that if he was here.
Yeah, totally. Let's call him. Just I think the other thing that is difficult in this is like when it goes to the other table. To make sure, I mean, you don't have to necessarily listen to what the other table's saying. It's nice and courteous. And sometimes it's fun. You know, it was fun to do a scene and reference kind of what they were saying. Or like do kind of a callback, so it mirrored the other group or the other duo. But while you're sitting there with your partner in the dark, it's difficult to stay in character and look like you're actually eating or whatever and not take all the focus away from the other group, because I mean the audience looks at what's moving around the most, so, and it's so easy to just mime a bunch of stupid stuff while the other group is you know, trying to start a real connection and relationship. So that was another challenge.
One of the things that I found challenging, I guess one of the things that I grew with over the course of the run, was how to act within a confined space. Like there is more that you can do than I originally thought that you could do in a pretty tight space. There's, you know, subtle shifts in posture say a lot, that like the way you hold your shoulders, like things like that. These decisions, if you decide to pay attention to those, as opposed to making a big dramatic cross across the stage, it can do the same thing.
Yeah, that and like voice inflections.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the two scenes that I was talking about were the two that I had big characters and big inflections and big emotions, and that was easier for me to keep a point of view and mm-hmm. and just be consistent with it, rather than just like, okay, let's just go out and see what happens, and I'll just yes and my partner, and then I get lost, and it's hard to just keep your composure, I guess. I don't mm-hmm. know, like to just stay in the same scene without, I don't know, I'm rambling. Never mind. Never mind.
One thing that I noticed has evolved about the show is when it started, there specifically was the bartender who is its own separate entity, but in later shows, it is a waiter now, or waitress. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very clever evolution, because the waiter can interact a lot more, and he can jump in at any time. He can really influence the scenes.
Yeah, it's cool to have the waiter, because I remember Jill Bernard talking about the meat and potatoes of scenes, and mm-hmm. then a third person entrance is like a garnish or like mm-hmm. you know, a little spice to it. So the waiter was very much just a nice little dash of paprika or something, you know, like coming in and just heightening a little bit, or if we're having a difficult time like getting out of a rut, coming out and getting us out of that. So I like that. Instead of having the bartender there and we had to go cross to them and have a conversation with them, it just flowed a lot better when the waiter was going back and forth between tables.
So. Yeah, and there were also many shows, or I don't know, maybe two or three shows where we basically didn't use the bartender at all. Used. The bartender was just sitting there. Yeah. Polishing the glasses or doing bartendery things. I think that's the only thing bartenders do. But like nobody ever went over there because there was no need. We were having good scenes between each other. So yeah, it's just definitely a better thing to have the waiter who can move around and interact and
it was
heighten
cool,
things where
it was
necessary.
Almost like four different groups, because it was like the two people on this side, the two people on this side, and then the three with the waiter, and then the three with the waiter. So it was cool to see the progression of each of those storylines in the short amount of time that we had.
The bartender, separate from the groups, worked better on paper than it did in practice. On paper, it was an excuse for the... Well, not an excuse, but a possibility for the actors to get up and move, for one thing. It was also... it was putting the heightening in the hands of the actors as opposed to in the hands of the bartender. In practice, it works better. I mean, it's improv. Like, the third person entrance works better when the third person is doing the gifting.
Entering.
On paper, it made sense. In practice, it works a lot better like this. And I don't remember who suggested it. I don't remember if it was...
That was Catherine.
Catherine?
Or
Hannah?
Hannah. Hannah. Middle name. Yeah, I always see that on Facebook, and for some reason I focus in on the middle name.
We should just call her Kat.
I'm surprised you haven't called me Marie, but that's okay. Big deal. Start now.
I do call you
Mary. Tonya Mary.
What's your actual last name?
Mariah.
Well, it's Albert.
No, oh, with an A.
E.
Ooh, oh, like an E. Albert Herb Albert?
Albert.
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 No one knows
because I have a nine. Albert. Yeah, right? Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
We've devolved.
Yeah. I like the waiter because, or the waitress because, when you were sitting there with your partner and they came to take your order or whatever, it almost solidified who you were with your partner. Mm-hmm. Like you really got an understanding of who you were together as soon as the waiter came up. Because you may be, I don't know, you were kind of still figuring it out. When the waiter came, you kind of just gelled together and this is who we are or this is what we're about. And, you know, and then later the waiter would sometimes become a large part of the scene, being that I fell in love with Joe or whatever it may be.
Yeah, that happened.
That was awesome.
Oh. There was one show where we had a fill-in, and Liz Losey filled in, and she and I were at a table together, and that happened. And, you know, sometimes with the fill-in, you know, even though I know Liz pretty well, we'd never played together, and certainly not in this form. And when the waiter came over, we immediately understood the relationship. We still didn't know the plot yet, but we immediately understood who we were to each other.
But I think that helps.
Yeah.
Rather than, I mean, how lost can you get when you know the plot?
Yep.
I mean, like, where can you go?
Right.
What kind of plot can you have if you don't have a relationship?
Right.
Who you're with, so.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's why that show actually went really, really well. And so, yeah, the waiter was
awesome. Yeah, I never got a chance to be the waiter. I mean, I could have, but I think it actually did. It scared me. It would actually like made me. I know it made me actually really nervous to think about being the bartender.
I really enjoyed it.
I don't know why.
How do you choose who gets to just someone volunteers?
There's like a rotating, rotating.
Well, almost because we weren't ever the.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that work?
Almost.
I don't know. I mean, it was a rotating cast, sort of, because one of us got to sit out each week. Or had to. It wasn't a good thing. We had to. And then I think we just decided within, you know, between ourselves who would be the waiter. But it freaked me out. I don't know why. It was just like,
That was actually, though, I think I only did that once. I was only the waiter once, but that was one of my favorite shows. Because I could just kind of like slip in and you know, do a little thing and then get out. And
I think it was the hardest like, not to laugh at the waiter. Mm-hmm. That was like really hard for me because they always had something ridiculous like, to bring you or say.
Yeah, the urge is just to be goofy.
Yeah, because you don't have to sit there and like really build this huge relationship to span over, you know, 25 minutes. The waiter just gets to sprinkle in and was really hard not to laugh.
I wish I had, I mean, for the next run.
Yeah,
I think that was maybe the most interesting thing about the evolution of the bartender to the waiter is, I mean, that was not the original idea for the show at all. I remember when Matt first came to me with the idea for the show, it was very simple and straightforward and like developed this ideal picture in my head. And I thought, yeah, that would totally work. That's exactly what we should do. It sounds perfect. And then the Improv Go-Go shows happened and like I said, it was good, but it just wasn't right. And I felt like if we just tried harder at doing exactly what we already talked about, that it would be what we wanted it to be, and it would be great. But it needed to evolve. It needed to change. And once it changed, then the show became more fun, more loose.
It flowed a lot
easier. Better, yeah.
I can't really say, because, I mean, I didn't do the go-go run, but didn't we do? We kept the bartender for the first few shows of the Wednesday run. Mm-mm. We didn't.
No, we changed it right before the Wednesday run.
Maybe it was just during. It was during rehearsals. Then, yeah, then I remember working with it. So it just flowed. It seemed a lot easier to.
I would agree. It flows way better.
And then also the idea that it was two separate groups, and the initial idea was no interaction between them whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Have no parallel conversations, nothing flowing from one person to the other, one group to the other. And then I think some of the best shows were the ones where that interaction between the two groups did happen. It just created more fun situations.
Depth.
Yeah. More possibilities. Depth, more possibilities,
How did you feel about that as the director?
Like we never forced it, so as long as it's not forced, it's fine.
Okay.
I mean, you didn't notice him crying after every show.
Why is everybody listening to my idea?
That's thought that was allergies.
If it's forced, it's schlocky.
I thought he was just happy crying.
But I've never seen Matt cry happy. You'll get there one day, bud.
My tears dried up when I was 14.
So it's essentially a mono scene with fade edits, and I think a lot of people are afraid of fade edits. They just seem a lot harder. You feel like feels like the group has to be a lot more in tune than
Yeah, I think
edits.
With this last run when Butch was our tech.
Yeah, Butch did
I mean,
some really
he's
cool
so
stuff.
In tune with everything improv. So he knew exactly when a good point to fade would be. But when we were doing it on our own, I think it worked. Mm-hmm. Just as well.
I think it was harder on our
it was
own.
Really hard
it
to
was.
Do it on our
you
own
had
because
to pay
listen.
So much more attention.
Yeah. I know, and I every time I was like, I feel like I'm hogging time or like cutting them off in the middle of like some really important thing because you don't know what they're saying.
Keeping time was really hard. Yeah, like I remember we did it one time and we were like, oh, this was kind of almost a little bit unbalanced because one's team was getting a lot longer than the other, and it wasn't intentional. It's just like you can't gauge how long your scene's really been going, you know, without like really keeping track of time.
What Butch would start to do is he would like bring the lights to a quarter or to half on the scene that isn't talking to prime us and let us know that you guys should start to think about taking over for
the
scene.
Which is super smart.
Yeah.
With the fading, I think it was hard. I mean, it's improv, so you're not supposed to like plan what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
So when you're in the dark, it's so easy to continue like miming with your partner and sort of building a story that way. And then like, oh, we should say that when the lights come up. That's a really great heightening thing to, you know, thing to put in there. And so that, I mean, being so into your partner and your conversation silently made it really difficult to listen to the other group and then potentially be super rude. But I don't think, I mean, I never felt like I was cut off when, so I can't speak for you guys, but I think it went okay.
I think I was poor in the dark. I don't think I really made much connection with my partner when we were sitting in the dark. It was kind of all just like, you know, miming and stuff. I didn't get the storyline to keep going very well when I was in the dark, because when I the one time that I did, I think it was a little distracting to the other table, so then in order to tone it down, I kind of lost the ability to keep, you know, a storyline going. So
I think that I actually went the other direction. I had such a hard time focusing on what was happening at the other table because I was so focused on what was happening at our table. I never got any of those sweet, you know, heard something over there and it was applicable over here moments. I never had one of those in our entire run, which...
Yeah, I didn't either.
That did make me cry.
That was Joe, a sad cry.
Joe, you did that quite a lot.
Yeah,
it worked
you were really,
really
good at that.
It's nice.
At crosstalk? At picking up things from other tables?
Yeah, and like, like the last thing the other group said was like... had something to do with the first thing you said. Like, not specifically, but like, they were talking about like red prawns or something. You're like, oh, these red prawns look really good. Or something ridiculous like that, you know? So.
I think it's called Halvo speak.
Yeah.
I have trademarked it, so I'll be charging Next Step Bat to my personal account.
Well, I think that's as much interviewing that I'm capable of. So now we're going to throw it over to a short segment that we do whenever Philip hosts, and that is Matt's Corner.
Oh.
Matt's Corner. Do you guys want to do a theme song for Matt's Corner?
Yeah. Matt's Corner. Hey, 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 Matt's Corner.
That was awesome.
Very beautiful.
I think it was great until I ruined it at the end. I was going for a high note there. That's about as high as I go.
Like a kid coming down a slide.
Matt, take us to your corner.
Sure. My favorite part about that was...
me not doing it.
Just your head shaking.
Yeah.
It's like, what can I add to this? Nothing. It's perfect the way it is.
Exactly. Thanks, guys. I think Max was probably contributing.
Can you play that every time?
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet.
So. Well, when it's Matt's corner.
Yeah. We'll just have Philip saying Philip over every time she's saying Matt's corner.
Yeah.
All right. Joe Halverson.
Hey, hi, Joe. What's happening? Hey, Matt.
Joe, could you tell me what was your favorite thing to play outside when you were about 9 years old?
Ooh. Oh, that's a great question. My favorite thing. We were kind of a little bit of hoodlums, a little bit. A little bit of hoodlums back in the day.
Gangsta.
pretended to be gangsters. I learned from my brother. But we would play.
Hudverson.
We would play a lot of Ding Dong Ditch, which, ooh, if you're unfamiliar, we're from Iowa.
I'm from Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa. Ding
Dong Ditch. Iowa people do.
Well,
not
I know
have
they
Ding
don't
Dong
have
ditch.
Electricity, so therefore no doorbells in Iowa.
The Amish people.
But yeah. Ding Dong Ditch, you'd run up to somebody's door, okay. Ring their doorbell, and then run away laughing. Or you would hide behind a bush and watch as people came out. It was really fun to play at like 1 in the morning because then people were terrified.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like, I didn't know how terrifying it was as a kid, but thinking back, like, I'm sure people were like, oh my God, why is somebody ringing the doorbell at 1 in the morning?
It's like, yeah, when somebody gets, yeah, a phone call at 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
It's weird. You were up at 1 in the morning when you were 9.
Yeah, right.
I had
what kind
very,
of parents did you
crazy
have?
Slumber
they
parties?
Were very laissez-faire.
Mm. Wow.
I did not have a bedtime or
really? No. With Matt being your mom, this is shocking.
Yeah. I thought you'd be more
Matt,
strict,
I'm,
Matt.
Yeah, I assumed you would be a little more
yeah,
strict.
Yeah, Matt's corner, he never sent me there. It was always for himself. That was mommy's time.
I was interviewing people.
All right, Mom. I'm going to go and play Ding Dong Ditch.
Andrew.
That's nice, honey.
What?
It's harder than it looks, right, Matt?
I like your haircut, Andrew.
I wanted to actually ask you an actual interview question.
Mm.
Ooh.
Oh.
So I'm going to do that because this is breaking from.
It's your corner.
Yeah,
it's Matt's corner. It's not Philip's corner.
Andy, could you tell me when you started learning Tai Chi and why?
Yes, I can. I started learning in 2006. And there are many reasons why. Somewhat similar to improv, which I started a year before. I don't know how long an answer you want, but I've sort of been on this like spiritual, I'm doing finger quotes, spiritual path for a while. And so I'd been interested in different modalities. And I had heard about Tai Chi. I didn't really know exactly what it was. I knew it was some kind of martial art, some sort of Eastern thing. And so one day I was looking through a community newspaper and this little flyer just kind of like fell out that said free introductory Tai Chi class. So I went and just kind of checked it out. I looked at their website and it sounded kind of interesting. And so I went to the class and I watched the instructor play through the form and I just thought, oh, that's kind of interesting, but I don't know what I would do with that. And then so I started taking the class and discovered that the principles that were being taught were the same principles that you learn in improv, which are presence, softness or release, which you need to do in improv. And spirit of enjoyment, and then the fourth principle is what's called wu wei, which is action from no action. So it's kind of when something else just sort of takes over. And so that was, it tied in really well with improv because it's basically you're trying to do the same thing, which is be present and relax and have fun and then let this sort of mysterious force just take over what you're doing. So it just sort of appealed to me and I was able to do it, which is a big hurdle for most people learning Tai Chi.
No wonder you're so good at improv.
Yeah, so zen.
How many heads have you exploded in Tai Chi?
I try to do at least one a week.
That's nice.
You have such a nice speaking voice, Andy.
You do. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy.
Yes.
Tanya.
Yeah.
What do you plan on doing with your summer?
Oh, man. With my blueberry summer, pancakes.
Can we move on to the next question, please?
I plan on doing a whole lot of nothing, watching a lot of Maury sitting on the couch, and then texting Joe and telling him exactly how much nothing I am doing.
Tanya.
Yeah.
Twinkies are coming back.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a nice addition to your summer.
I heard that on the
Twinkies
news.
Twinkies and Maury, they go hand in hand, right?
All the Hostess products.
I don't know, they did when I was 10.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, I listen to the news. I read books now.
What?
It's amazing.
Whoa, you can
read?
Disgusting.
I can read now. Wow. It's amazing.
None of your improv characters know how.
Oh, aside from your Russian spy, that's kind of true.
Yeah, and that, I'm not sure. Everybody later told me she was Russian. I didn't know what she was. Everybody's like, oh, I love your Russian accent. I'm like, thank you. I'm not really sure what she is. But, you know, yeah. So I'm planning on doing a lot of nothing. It's going to be great.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Carolyn.
Yes.
When and where did you learn how to do special effects makeup?
I don't think I ever did it in high school. I don't remember. In college, I went as Jane Mansfield for Halloween one time.
Did you cut your head off?
No, but oh. I had this great idea that I was going to do a big slit on my neck. Mm-hmm. So Jane Mansfield, I don't know if everybody knows who that is, but it's Mariska Hargitay's mother from SVU, Law and Order, comma. Mm. And she was like the poor man's Marilyn Monroe back in the day. Mm-hmm. And the way she died was she was... Pretty oh my God, horrific. I'm talking about car accidents again. Mm. Yeah, she was... she was in a car and there's a bad car accident and everybody thought she was decapitated because her wig flew off and there was a picture in the newspaper of just like this wig and they thought it was her head. But it's just her wig, and it turns out she was like scalped. She wasn't actually decapitated. But I went with the story.
I thought she was decapitated.
She was not. I went with the story, and I put like this nasty makeup, and I used rubber cement before I learned that liquid latex was a thing. And I had this great idea that I would take like a CD case and like smash it up, and then put all the like pieces in like it was glass from the windshield.
That didn't work.
It didn't work. So there's pictures on Facebook if you want to see them. But then from there, I have been some dead, nasty, gross celebrity ever since. Like I was the Black Dahlia the next year, and then I just started doing more gross wounds and stuff. And I'm a paramedic outside of this, so. I'm kind of just in a morbid person.
Do you ever quick apply person. Makeup to somebody who's really injured and be like, oh, no, it's way worse than you thought.
No, I'm going to make sure you get into the hospital very quickly.
Yeah, you know what's fun? Like, I'm good at doing nasty, horrible, like, bone splintering, kind of gross makeup, but, like, beauty makeup, I'm really terrible at it. I'm awful. I'm like, how much eyeshadow?
You're a natural.
I'm a natural beauty. Is that what you're saying, Joe?
I'd ask you to help me for Halloween, but I think the kindergartners might be a little wigged out.
Maybe.
I came in.
It'd be a dead Teletubby. Teletubbies are still a thing, right?
Sure.
Right? Okay. That is all.
All right.
Okay.
Well, do we need an outro song for Matt's Corner?
No. No, he doesn't get one.
Oh, really?
No, he deserves one, but we need to move on to the bat.
Got
you
it.
Guys ready?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
That was a terrible outro.
Matt's Corner, A.
Matt's See, Corner, now she's ready to add
a.
in.
Oh. Matt's Corner, A. Matt's Corner, A. It's been Matt's Corner, A.
It's been Matt's Corner,
A.
It's been Matt's Corner,
A.
Matt's Corner.
See? I think we could just do that for forever. Would that be okay? Please do that.
Next at bat. Have we started?
No, we're waiting for one more guest.
Oh,
here. I'm here.
There she is.
Sarah, we appreciate your presence here.
I've been studying very much.
Good. Excellent. Yeah. I've noticed that in your progression of your grades and your paperwork.
Thank you.
On mining in South Dakota.
Yeah, I know all about the mining business. You let a lot of breath yeah. there.
Sarah? Yeah.
I just came in from the hallway. I was almost late.
You were late.
I wasn't quite late. I was a little bit. I was late. Yeah.
Do you have your paper?
Yeah. Here it is, right here.
This is a newspaper.
Yeah, I was gonna cut out all the words and reorder them in order to make my paper, but I didn't have time to cut them out, so I thought you could cut them out yourself. And
I'm going to have to talk to my superiors about whether or not this is plagiarism.
My dad said it was okay.
Well, your father is not an instructor, is he?
Yeah, yes, Miss Karen. What is it that you wanted to speak with me about?
I have a student.
Yes.
Named Sarah.
Uh-huh.
Sarah.
Brightman?
Water Bottle.
Oh, Sarah Water Bottle.
Who, she gave me a newspaper mm-hmm. as a paper that she said she wrote, and I need to know whether or not it is plagiarism.
Had she cut the words out and...
No, she expected me to do that myself.
What kind of serial killer are you trying to teach here?
I am teaching mining in South Dakota and North Dakota. Not serial killers.
Then why were you trying to teach her to cut out?
I was not teaching that. It's just her style. Print. I like to let my students and express glue it themselves
onto a sheet of paper. Hey, that's what serial killers do.
Not all.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, Ms. Waterbottle.
Mr. Zimmerman, I've killed someone. And I'm not entirely sure what to do next, and I know that you're
Oh, damn, Mr. Henry Bottom. Now I have to replace him.
Mr. Silverman, I would just like to say that I did not teach Sarah how to murder anyone?
Miss Waterbottle.
This was of her own volition.
Did you learn how to do these serial killer notes from your teacher?
Yes. In after school sessions, she taught me all the things she knows.
Okay, why don't you specify what teacher you're talking about? You have many teachers at this school.
Do you see the teacher that taught you this in this room right now?
If I look directly at her, will you believe me? Because I'm looking directly at her.
I see that you are looking directly at...
I also see that. But I must ask you, can you see me killing anyone? I am wearing a floral print dress that goes down to the floor with Birkenstock sandals and a cardigan. Do you really see me being a serial killer? Or a killer.
Those who can't do, teach.
Here are your car keys, Mitch. Thanks. Thanks again.
Sure.
Ooh, listen, there was a clanking. You should check that out.
What?
There's a clanking in the engine.
Clunk, 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 clunk. Oh, yeah. That was... Wait a second. No, that's not right.
Well,
it sounded different before. It was more of a growling before.
Cut to that. What the hell did you do?
You know, it was growling. It was growling for a while. Look, hit a big pothole, started clunking.
I told you to watch out for them potholes.
The lights weren't working. It was
a short trip.
It's a short trip, but it was in the dark, and the lights wouldn't come on.
They don't work. I know. I don't use lights. Who uses lights in the dark?
I wanted to, but I couldn't.
You should have your eyes checked. I think that's really the issue here.
Also, there's this whining coming from the trunk.
Okay, I told you not to open the trunk.
Didn't open it, but...
Okay, good.
It sounded human.
Well, it might be. It might be human.
So there's that. You might want to get that looked into. No. I didn't open. I didn't...
No, I don't want to get that looked into. That's exactly the way I like it. And I don't think I'm going to loan you my car again, okay? Mitt, I got to draw the line here.
Let us into the world.
No, Mitt, I tried to avoid potholes, but it was dark, and I did not look in your trunk. So I followed all your rules. I even...
And yet you changed the type of clunk that I got.
Well,
now, which totally devalues the car.
I don't think they're listening to us.
We must do something, B.
More clunking! More clunking!
That car is a collector's item.
You know, I don't even when it was growling, I think that was probably a problem.
Look,
hey guys, I see you got a 78 Pandora there.
That's Mitch's pride and joy.
Oh, Mitch, that's a beauty.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. You know, a celebrity died in that car.
Is that right?
That's right.
Looks like you haven't even opened it yet.
No. I don't even touch. Get away from that trunk.
Don't open the trunk.
I've always
You're
wanted to open
to
one.
You.
No, it's one of Mitch's rules. Don't do it.
You know,
oh, jeez. Okay. How the hell am I going to sell this car now,
I ain't going to buy it.
I do have big muscles, I do. And when I flex my muscles, they're really, really big and huge. See, look!
Holy moly, those are enormous! They're like hitting the sky, they're so big!
Seriously, seriously, Max, if you just look at them, like, they'll get bigger.
I know, I think it's going to pull my eye out if I look at them.
Oh, my God. Do you think that I'm going to get Jenny for the prom?
Heck yeah!
Yeah.
You'll be the first 8-year-old at the prom with a senior.
Oh, my God. She's totally going to want me.
Hey, kid. Samira to babysit.
Oh, my God, here she is.
Oh
my God, you want to go to the prom with me?
Wait. Oh my God, you're so cute.
Okay, she didn't believe me. What else should I do?
Dude, I was going to be your wig band.
Well,
jeez,
hurry it up.
You guys want to watch some SpongeBob? That's what kids like, right?
Hey, let me tell you about
whatever you like, baby.
Okay, shut up. I'm trying to wingman it.
Okay, I'm listening.
You're ruining this for yourself.
I'm right here, I'm listening.
No, you don't listen.
I got fruit roll-up.
She keeps interrupting our wingman talk.
Okay, tell her that you're... I'll tell her. Hey, we're too good. We're too big now for fruit roll-ups. We're strong.
But look at my muscle!
That's adorable.
You can't even see the end of it. It touches the rainbow like Skittles.
Like Skittles.
You guys have such a great imagination.
Do you want to taste a rainbow?
Yeah.
Yeah, fruit roll-ups right here.
Oh my God, that's not the rainbow.
I don't have Skittles. I only have fruit roll-ups. You can roll them into little balls and pretend that they're Skittles, okay?
Hey, Jane.
What?
Can we play a game outside tonight?
What game?
I want to play... Robber Baron.
Yes, but only until 8:30. And then you have to come in and watch SpongeBob and eat roll-ups with me. Just so you guys know, I'm inviting my boyfriend over. And you can't tell your... if you tell your parents, you're going down.
Where are we going down to?
The ground. I'm going to punch you in the face.
That's cool. Wait, I don't like punches, though.
Dude, you're stealing my girl.
I'm talking you up.
Well, you're not talking me up. You're talking about yourself.
That's how a wingman operates.
Less talking about yourself. More talking about me. What are we going to do about this boyfriend?
We're going to... You just flex at him and it'll knock the shit out of... Oh.
Dude. Swears.
I'm going to get the soap right now.
Good.
I'll wash it out for him.
Good. James, I'm so glad you're here.
Hey, what's up, man?
Your parents aren't going to be back until 2 a.m.
Oh, totally awesome.
You can watch so much SpongeBob.
Yeah. Oh, hey, little man. What's up?
I got to go wash his mouth out with soap. I'll be back.
All right. Whatever, man.
Open up already. Open your mouth.
You're so strong.
Don't you... Don't you ever swear again.
I won't.
Okay, now what are we going to do about this boyfriend?
You're my best friend. I'll do anything for you.
Okay. I have an idea.
I'll follow your lead.
Hey, man, I think that kid's got, like, rabies or something.
No, he just swore. Sweared. He does. He still swear.
That's harsh, man.
Yeah. Did you remember getting your mouth washed up with soap when you were a kid?
No, I didn't have like any rules. I didn't have a bedtime or like anything.
Are you serious?
Man. Yeah, I could like just do whatever I wanted. You know, it's so cool.
It's crazy that you grew up into being such a mature adult.
Oh, I know. I'm like so different now. You know.
I know. It's awesome. I love that you're going to community college.
Oh, man. Ding dong. Hey, James, guess what? It's your parole officer. We called him. High five.
James, you didn't tell me you'd been arrested.
Well, it's just like, you know, it was like a total like protest thing, you know? It was like chained to a tree.
Oh, I love how caring you are.
Oh, because they were going to, like, cut it down. And then, you know, if it cut down the trees, like, we can't
James,
breathe.
Are you lying to your girlfriends again? He was chained to a tree, man, because he was so high on meth that his friends chained him up because they thought he was going to kill himself.
James, I can't believe you lied to me.
It sucks to suck, man.
It was totally a protest thing.
Sucks to suck.
Sucks to suck.
Sucks to suck.
Sucks to suck. You guys suck.
James. I'm going to have to break up with you.
What?
Yeah.
That's totally hard.
I know the prom's only in a week and a half, but you lied to me and you do meth, and that's whack.
No, it's totally cool.
Time to get in the car, James.
Oh, man.
See you never.
Damn.
Guys. I'm so sad.
It's okay. I know this great guy.
Give me a hug, guys.
I couldn't help but notice that you needed a shoulder to cry on.
I do. You look really good in that uniform. I love it.
Thanks. You want to get out of here?
Well, I'm kind of babysitting, but...
Oh, that kid looks pretty strong. I'm sure he can take care of anybody that comes around here.
That's true. Okay, kids. Have a good night. Here's the fruit roll-ups. You can have them.
Blueberry. Gross. God.
Thanks for the water. I was just parched.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, God. Could I have some?
I guess.
Yeah, it's really hot out here. So,
I mean, we really have so much, you know.
Guys, don't give any to Darren. He's a noise drinker.
Oh, gross. He makes noises.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, guys.
No. Oh.
Okay. Stop. Thanks. It's so hot out here.
Okay, it's really hot.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
No, I'm out. You did? Hey, do you want a granola bar?
Yeah.
Sweet, here you go.
Granola bars. I'm so hungry. Can I have one of those?
Let us out.
You guys, oh my God. What's wrong with the way you eat and drink?
Seriously, what kind of household were you raised in? Were you born in a barn?
Well, I wasn't born there, but I was raised there.
In a barn?
Yeah, well, we lived in the hayloft above the barn.
Oh, my God.
So you learned how to eat from, like, horses?
Do cows eat granola bars like that, or, like, what?
They eat, like, hay like that.
Hay?
And grass.
So that's how they drink
grass?
Yeah, like I used to just be watching them from up in my hayloft and be like, man, that's looks like a good way to put food into you. So I was like, do it that way.
Jill, do you remember that joke that you heard the other day?
Yeah.
It was so funny. Tell them the joke.
Okay. It was like, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Moo.
Moo who?
Don't cry. It's only a joke.
Oh, man, that's so funny.
You get it. Okay.
God, I was going to ask
that's
you
so
guys.
Funny.
That was super funny, but really, was that a real laugh?
I learned how to laugh telling jokes to horses.
So I was...
Yeah, John, tell
talking,
again.
Okay, so no heckling from the audience, please.
He's so
even
handsome.
If it is compliment. Okay, you're throwing me off with your compliments.
Okay, tell another joke. I'm ready.
Well, I was like, hey, excuse... I'm trying to work my routine here. Please just give me an opportunity, okay? So have you ever thought about heaven? Okay.
Excuse me, ma'am. All right. We've been getting some complaints about... You're talking to the comic from other audience members, we're gonna have to kick you
out. You're interrupting right now as well. I'm just trying to do my routine.
Help.
I mean, neither of you are helping. You could have silently escorted her out. That would have been helpful.
That's a good one.
Okay, that was
helpful. You stole this bit from Louis.
I've never watched. I don't even know who Louis is.
Who is that heckling you? Do you want me to get after him? I hate hecklers.
Did you call?
You're ruining the show, sir.
Jesus. Oh,
sir?
Boy. So is your face.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm really
so anyway, it would be great if you got...
Can you say something to him? I mean, you have a microphone.
You know, if Jesus and Gandhi tossed your cell, that's the only thing that would make heaven worthwhile. It's all
I missed it. I missed it. What was it? Can you say it again? I'm sorry. I was too distracted about my face.
All right. I'll be here again next week. Thanks, everybody.
I'll be back.
Now we finally get to open up the cabin. I've been looking forward to this all year.
Oh, yeah. Opening the cabin.
I can't wait to catch a fish and see the birds and there's a...
Oh, there was a speckle-breasted boozer.
Yeah, I think that was Artie. I named him last year.
Oh, I remember. I remember everything that you say to me.
Oh,
hey, Horace.
Hey, Horace. Glad to see you here.
Yeah, really glad to see you.
We're just opening it all up for the season.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's nice to see you, neighbor. Am I going to see you out on the lake a little later?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, parade of boats, opening day.
Okay.
Oh, look at the Eddie. Wow.
Is that Artie?
Yeah, I think that might have been Walter.
Artie the Walter Water Walker.
Well,
I think over there I heard something.
Did you know,
That's the whistling titmouse.
Oh, titty's back. Titty's back. I call him titty.
The only titties we get up in this cabin.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, but
well, except for the tit Wallace and the tit fur and the tit tit. I mean, there's one.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of the tit tit, there it is.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Hey, tit tit.
Everybody, I'm so glad they came out to greet us. I mean, I was thinking about them all winter. You know?
Guys, I came out to greet you too.
Horace, sure. I'm the only talking emu this side of the North Woods.
I'm a person. I'm a person.
Come on, Horace. We've known you a pretty long time. You're definitely an emu.
Standing on the porch.
Well, you got that long neck.
Standing right here.
All
right,
tell me this: how often do you fly?
With your
ability by yourself, not on an aeroplane.
Never.
Emu.
Yeah.
Hey there, neighbors.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, looks
Gladys.
Like you guys found my emu.
Yeah, we did. Horace is right here.
Horace,
what?
You know not to run away from the farm.
I'm a person.
I think you need to punish the horse here.
Yeah,
talking
Horace,
out
you
of
go
turn.
Back to the farm. I'm gonna just visit with our neighbors.
What are you talking about? I was just saying hi. They just came up. They were opening up their cabin.
No,
I was saying that we were gonna see
for you tonight.
You could wash his mouth out with soap.
Yeah,
that's
Gladys.
A good idea. There,
I'm
Horace,
a person.
Horace, you go back to the house and put some soap in your mouth. Not the bar kind. Get
Why
the liquid kind.
Why won't anybody
treat
me like a human?
Because you're an emu.
I'm not an emu.
Hey, I bought you from the pet and zoo.
Hey, Sam Gladys. I'm curious. I'm curious. What's it like being an emperor penguin?
Are you calling me fat right now? Is that what you're doing?
Well, no, you got like that gangly thing on top of your head.
Why?
Well,
that's my hat. Don't you know? It's still chilly from the springtime. I'm a human being.
Definitely,
I'm a woman. Hear me roar.
Oh, funny. That's a good one because penguins can't roar.
No, they don't roar. I'm
not a penguin. Horace, tell them I ain't a penguin.
I know you're not a penguin. If you were a penguin and I was an emu, it would be illegal if we were married.
Well, not up here in the Northwoods. A lot of stuff goes.
Yep, anything
you can
goes
do
up
prima,
here.
Anything goes. Anything we do musicals goes. On the pontoon
yeah,
every
well,
once in a
getting
while.
Getting ready for the 4th of July, the big musical day.
Musical parade of boats.
Well, I'm glad you came out, Sam Gladys. We got some fish for you out in the cooler.
Well, don't you know I don't eat fish?
Wow, all penguins eat
fish. Yeah,
I'm not a freaking penguin, you crazy hooters.
You know what? I think you are a penguin.
What?
Yeah, that's right. You're
coming from an emu, that says something.
Yep, the emus are smart.
They're very intelligent creatures.
You're all ganging
up
on me. I just came over with some blueberry crackle here for you.
Penguins always bring that blueberry crackle.
Yep, never trust a penguin's blueberry crackle.
Well, I made it from scratch, don't you know?
Yeah, what were you scratching?
There's even rhubarb in it.
Oh boy, rhubarb! Jeez. That stuff's poisonous if you get the leaves.
I didn't get the leaves in it. I cooked it all down.
Guys, you know that emperor penguins can't tell the difference between stalks and leaves.
Oh, that's why I don't eat their blueberry crackle. That's why you don't trust it.
Horace, you eat my blueberry crackle every night.
Well, emu's got those Australian. I just picked up on the innuendo there.
Yeah, there was no innuendo.
See, I think
I really meant that we eat that for dinner every single night. Hey, get your minds out of the swamp over there.
Oh, well, the bog is where we
settled. Put a little salt on the blueberry crackle. Yeah.
I'm not picking up on it. I'm just a simple emu.
What do you think I am, a emu fucker?
Well,
I didn't say it.
No, we wouldn't say that out loud.
Not for about 14 years.
Now that I'm...
Jeez, 14.
Sounds like you need some heat.
We got a couple pornos we can loan.
That's inappropriate there. That's inappropriate.
Really? Well, you started with the blueberry.
Come on, no.
I'm pretty mad at you. Animals are overage in that porno.
Okay, that's a little awkward to see.
Well, you know, I mean, what? Just watching cats and there's a...
Came over here to give you some blueberry crackle.
I came over to give you some hospitality.
I also came over to get my emu.
Look, there's a horned bitch slap flying by.
Is it Artie?
Oh. They're so beautiful.
It was Artie.
Oh, Artie.
And that's our show. Thank you to A Night Out. Thank you to Carolyn Blomberg, Andy Katzung, Tanya Albert, and Joe Halverson for coming by. You can see A Night Out sometime in the future, but we're not quite sure when. But you can check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/A Night Out.
You can go check out my YouTube channel, as always. Go check out Minimum Fare and my songs and things.
Neither Philip or I have anything coming up right now, so just listen to our podcast.
Also, chat us up on Facebook. Search for Next at Bat. Send us an email, nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com.
And check us out on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review. Give us 5 stars. It helps us out a lot. Tune in next week when we'll have on Adorable. That's Butch Roy and Jen Scott. And until then,
praise Jibosh.